Good evening. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations, among other Internet radio talk stations, Voices of the People, United We Roar. Tonight is June 18, 2007. PIVTR is the Internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIVTR, we not only provide experts passionate about their work, we offer you viable content and solutions. PIVTR is also dedicated to helping publish mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to further market themselves, their services, books, and products to the media. And now, a special program tonight with Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, in which she talks about her new book. Good evening, Dr. Holstein.
Good evening, Lillian. It's great to be back on your wonderful international radio show. I'm very excited, and so is the girl in the truth. Shall I talk a little bit about the book?
Please do.
All right. Well, I'm sure that if you're an adult woman listening in, there was a time in your life when you, like the girl in my book, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm smart, and I know everything, that you had a passionate side to you, where you knew the truth and you knew exactly what was really right and you could hold on to it forever. And certainly you promised yourself that along with your dreams and your wisdom, you would hold on to what you saw as true and what you saw was right and what you knew to be fun and what you knew to be wholesome. Yes, all those promises were made, but have we kept them? Well, that's the big question, and that's one of the reasons that I wrote The Truth, not to punish ourselves, certainly not, but to give women and girls fresh eyes, give girls a voice to say perhaps some of the things that they wish they could say to their mothers and their fathers, and maybe to give them the courage to say in words some of the thoughts that they held in their hearts and in their minds, and to give mothers and women a chance to renew themselves, to refresh themselves by walking through the pathways of this little girl and playing with her and hearing her secrets and seeing how important and vital life is to her. It isn't dull. It's really, really meaningful, even when she falls in love, and even when she falls down and scrapes her knees and gets big scabs, and even when they have to move and she's very, very scared. It's all so real, and that's what we need. We need to live a life that's real, not separate from life as we kind of go through it in a maze of almost a hypnotic stance where we're dulled out. So that's why I wrote The Truth, and really, once this book started to be written, the girl wrote the book. The girl, she really is 10, she's smart, and she knows everything. This is not my life story. This girl emerged. She is probably a mixture, and who knows, in from the universe of hundreds and hundreds of girls. And I think that she does speak a lot of the truth, and I'm just fascinated because tonight we have on the show a girl, Caitlin, who is actually 10 and read the book, and we have adults who are authorities in their each in their own fields, and I think it would be great to talk a little bit. And Lillian, were you going to lead us at all, or shall I just continue? Well, I guess I should just continue. Okay. So I'm wondering, Caitlin, are you there?
Yep.
Yeah. So, Caitlin, tell a little bit about how you felt reading the book and what messages it had for you.
Well, I felt that any person or girl can relate to this and that it can really, like, it can give you some very important messages that you, well, it's kind of hard to explain.
Yes. Tell me what was one of your favorite passages. What did you get a kick out of the most?
My favorite that I got, I was cracking up about was that I have a little brother too, and one part of this book is that she says that her brother's so dumb and that he starts crying because he thought he was special, that he could see colors in his eyes, and he thought he was the only one who could see that until he found out that one of his neighbors can do that, see that too. So that sort of reminds me of my brother. So.
Yes, yes. And isn't that, you know, so true that there are certain moments where we kind of crash because we think we're holding on to something that maybe no one else has ever thought of or done, and then we see, you know, most people have done it at some point. But, you know, that's the way life is too at times. But, yes, I thought that was a funny passage. And she was a good girl, though, instead of really punishing her brother and making him feel even more stupid. She gave him a hug because she knew she was the big sister. And I bet in your own way you're kind to your brother.
Yes.
Yes. Was there any other passage that stayed with you?
There was one. It was that when her mom came into her room and started dancing with her, and her mom would normally get mad at her for doing that. And her mom just came in and started dancing with her, and that's something I can relate to. My mom doesn't normally do that, but sometimes she
And there isn't any of the all those that guard that she's the grown up, she's the boss,
yeah.
And you're just kind of united together. It is a very special moment.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And that's a passage. And of course, the little girl had quite a messy room and wasn't thrilled to have her mother come and was pretty scared, but it did work out into one of those wonderful moments.
Yeah.
And what did you think about the whole thing where the little girl really prizes that locket and treats it in a very special way and has some secrets around it? Did that sort of appeal to you?
Well, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I can sort of relate to that too, because if I get something special from my grandmother or one of my family members, I'll treasure it. And if it's really special to me, I won't let anyone touch it or anything.
Yeah.
And so I will I'll keep it in a safe place, just like she does, and just think about what she's going to do with it and what she's going to put in it. And
mm-hmm. You know, this locket carries through into my next book. I'm already working on the next book in which she's going to be almost 12, because we end up when she's, you know, almost 12 in this book,
mm-hmm.
So she's almost 14, and there'll be many of the things like the locket will carry through into the next book.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you'd be interested in her being a couple of years older, or do you think it's more important that she's just your age in this book?
I would like to see what she's like when she's older and to see what if I can relate to her when I'm older and see if I'm going to have anything in common with her when I'm older.
Yeah, that would be really interesting, particularly since she is from a slightly different time.
Yes.
You know, she's really more a little girl that, in truth, you're grandmother would relate very, very much to with some of the things like, I don't know if you've asked your grandmother if she used to watch the Mickey Mouse Club or anything like that.
I know my sister does, but I think I've asked her once or twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Or talked about it with her.
And have you ever watched I Love Lucy or some of the other?
Yes, my one of my grandmothers loves that show, and
we
used to watch it when I was little together,
yeah.
When I came home
yeah.
from preschool, whenever it was
mm-hmm.
on.
Yes, you have some fond memories about it, too.
Yes.
Did you feel that it was important that the little girl was asking questions about growing up and sort of trying to hold on to some form of the truth about the mysteries of life? Or were you more interested just in the details of her life?
Both, really. It's for me, it's normal to ask questions like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that it's probably normal because all my friends ask questions. I ask them questions, and some of them ask my mom questions, so
mm-hmm.
I can.
Well, that's really a very profound answer, because I think you're confirming my hunch and my memories and my clients when they talk about themselves growing up that, you know, at 10, you're pretty brilliant already, and you're pretty deep, and you have amazing thoughts and questions. And somehow the grown-ups, you know, sort of override that sometimes, and we block it out. We don't want to think how deep you are because we're busy, you know, running the house and getting you off to school and whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's just many, many levels of deep thoughts and feelings that go with every stage of life, and that's... You just confirmed that. I wonder, Caitlin, just stay with us and feel free. I may come back and intentionally ask you or jump in. I'm just checking now. Is Dr. Lucinda Monica Sears on the phone yet?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Okay.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Lucinda.
How are you?
Good, great.
Hello, Caitlin. I was very interested in hearing what you had to say.
Hello.
Yes, well, Lucinda is a school psychologist and a practicing private psychologist. Yeah, what did you think of, some of the discussion? Any thoughts? And in reference to you having read the book.
Well, I love the book, as you know. And I think that I'm glad to hear that Caitlin can relate to a lot of the things there. That was my hunch. I have worked with children for many years, and that's kind of my specialty. And I think this is the way they think. It's the way I remember thinking at that age. And the kids that I talk to, this is some of the things that they're going through, trying to get their parents to understand what they need, what they want, what's important to them, and the parents can't always understand that. And, you know, I had a very interesting experience. My mom, who lived to the age of 88 years old, passed away last year, and she was a real writer, and I found a book that she wrote in her attic, all the way in the back of the attic, and she started writing it when she was 11 years old, back in 1929, it was just about the same age as your girl, and up to the age of 15. And she expressed so many of the same feelings that your heroine expresses in her book. It's incredible.
Wow.
It just cuts through the time, you know, even though technology and everything is a lot different. What's important to her is important to people now, kids now, and
Share one or two things that she said?
Well, she was talking about her ambition was to have a husband who loves her and whom she loves and children that love her. And that's the same thing that the girl in the story wanted in her diary.
Although she also wanted to work and be competent when she was older.
Yes, and so did my mom.
Yeah.
She wanted to do something exciting and meaningful and have a career and have, you know, a romance, a love affair mixed up with it, she said. But she wanted to settle down and have a husband, and that was the most important thing. She said he should be intelligent, broad-minded, and good-looking. But the last is not so important. Love is the main thing. And she said she used to think she had to be a vamp and to be really pretty and fashionable looking, but now she thought she must make herself as fine as possible and just, you know, be good friends and find somebody who would respect her and she would respect him, and then they would grow to love each other. I thought that was so amazing to figure that out at the age of 13.
What do you think of that, Caitlin? Makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I'm only 11, and I'm really not that focused on that yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. You have time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take your time, by all means.
Yeah. And back in those days, girls used to get married when they were very, very young.
Yeah.
Now they can have a career, and they can have it all, and they can wait longer.
And absolutely.
It's possible, and
sure,
it's a good idea.
For sure. I wonder, can we also get... And Lucinda, stay right with us.
Okay.
And Caitlin, too. But Thor and Moonen, do you want to introduce yourselves and jump in with reactions and or thoughts?
Hi, everybody. I'm Thor the Barbarian. Barbara and I have done a lot of entertainment and a lot of human service type of things together. I'm at a disadvantage. I've never been a little girl, nor will I ever experience any of the stages of womanhood. However, this tale spoke to me as a coming-of-age story, a journey, a transformation, and also very much a hero quest. She had a mythical mentor in Nancy Drew and other characters that mm-hmm. kind of inspired her to move forward in life and to figure things out. So that yeah. being universal, the book spoke to me as well.
Yes. Yes, and she did take a lot of her characters from the environment she was exposed to, which is all we can do. You know, she also had a lot of mentoring that she took from I Love Lucy, from Lucille Ball, and from books she read, like Little House on the Prairie, and you take it where you get it, mm-hmm. but it's what you do with it.
Right.
That's very true. My wife and I recently started, in fact, a nonprofit organization, Hercules Invictus, because we were raised on the Peplum movies, the sword and sandal adventures of Hercules and Jason and the Argonauts and Conan the Barbarian. Right. So those were our inspirations, and they carried us even now, we're almost 50, to do something with that inspiration. So those influences in the environment are phenomenally powerful, and they can guide us very far if we let them. So the little girl with her characters shows very strongly that she's learned that secret and she can apply it.
Right, right. Moonen, can you jump in? Are you
there
still?
Yes. I'm sorry, I got a little befuddled here.
Did you have any reactions reading the book? I know you put up a review on your site. I guess that's the Thor the Barbarian site. But I haven't had a chance to see it, so feel free to share any reactions you had.
Well, the book spoke to me very strongly, too, that nowadays we don't have rites of passage. We used to have a whole thing with female mysteries, and there used to be like a wiser women or older women trying to explain to you the transition between girlhood and womanhood. And the little girl in the story is kind of, for a long time, just feeling her way by herself.
Right.
And, I identified very much with her take on the girls after puberty just being, like, giggling all the time and silly, because that wasn't the way I was either. And she's very, very smart, very serious. She thinks that, you know, Nancy Drew's great because she's logical, and she's admiring in female icons what you used to use for mentoring, if you want to do a mythic mentor, almost like Athena or something. She's looking for a wiser, more logical woman rather than something that's a little more frivolous. And this is what she sees herself as. But at the same time, she also sees herself as a mother, and she wants it all.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like trying to touch almost every aspect of femininity she can, with, you know, and she's not even through puberty yet. So she kind of blew me away with that.
Yes, well, I think that so often for girls, and there's so much research around this, that girls really lose a lot of their power around 13, 14 as they give in, so to speak, to the pressures of our society toward all the external things of clothing, flirting, all the things that go with hormones, of course, and growing up. But they're not really offset with the right mentoring and the right heroine figures so girls lose part of themselves for a while. Not all girls. Don't worry, Caitlin. You know, I'm talking about generalities in our culture. And then within that, there are, of course, thousands and millions of girls that manage to hold on to what they need to hold on to and are comfortable doing sports in high school and drama and all sorts of things that keep them, you know, lined up with themselves. But there are pressures in our society that I think we have to constantly stay alert to.
Barbara.
Well, what's this girl is that she's such an individualist.
Oh.
She doesn't give in to all the peer pressure. She just keeps on with what she thinks is what she says is the truth for her. She's found her path. That's what she's calling the truth is her path at this moment.
Yes.
Right.
But I would like to add something that I noticed the importance of the reactions of the adults in her life. This is Lucinda. I'm talking again.
Yes.
And I've seen this with teachers, the effect of teachers' comments to children in the early grades, the elementary school. She spoke about her teacher who didn't always seem to approve of her questions. She would ask too many questions.
Right.
And she wouldn't ask the questions or say the things that the teacher was looking for, and the teacher would give her a look or, you know, some kind of disapproval or ignore her. And it made her, it really affected her very much. And then she was so joyous when she got the teacher, I forget what happened, but
the substitute teacher.
She had a substitute teacher, yes. The teacher was on a medical leave. And she got a new teacher who was a young teacher and very idealistic and progressive, and it was a man, and she probably had a crush on him as well. But he loved all of her questions, and he made her feel special, and he encouraged her, and he disapproved of having teams picked and having people kind of valued for their sports ability, which she didn't have, and that had such a powerful effect on her. So I think what the teachers do and the adults do, the parents do, the family members can affect the child so profoundly how they feel about themselves. And the same with her feelings about her parents fighting. It was so frightening to her to hear them fight. I was very touched by that, you know, and I think that would be good for parents to adults to read that and how scary that is for their kids to hear, you know, and how they just want to get away from it.
Maybe even for people to realize how upsetting it is to a child if there's needless swearing, even something.
Yes, she mentioned that. She thought that was so bad. And I agree with her. It's unnecessary, you know. And it made her, well, of course, she wasn't used to it, but it really isn't necessary. And she was very, very smart about that. But I think the effect of people, even though she said she, you know, she knew everything, she really didn't know everything. She really wanted to learn more. And she had a great intuition, but she depended on the adults around her to kind of show her the way, be a mentor like the others are saying.
Yes. Actually, that leads me right into something you might even get a kick out of, all of you on the line, including Caitlin. I've written songs for the girl, but because I have no capacity to write the music, there are only lyrics at this point. But I'll just read one that goes a little bit with what Dr. Lucinda was just saying.
Mm-hmm.
The girl says, talk to me, soothe me. Tell me what I need to know, that I'll be a grown-up someday and the way to go. Don't leave me crying silently with questions that can't come out. Know me and what I'm about. Please tell me you know the answers.
Very nice.
Oh, that's wonderful, Barbara.
Yes, yes. Do you like it, Caitlin?
Yes.
Yeah, and here's a little poem I wrote about her song. We didn't talk at all about that she has a song in her head that she can't identify.
Yeah, I remember that, yes.
And so she says, I have a song. I hear it inside. Listen to me. Can you hear it too? Oh, don't say no. Even for me, it comes and goes. And I'm so afraid because no one seems to know my song. I'm getting older and it seldom comes. What's in store for me as I wander? How can I leave so much of me? And I've got to believe that my song will be, I've got to believe I'll be singing my song loud and clear.
Mm.
So the song is also a metaphor for a lot of the mysteries that we're talking about and the grasping for finding the way and having mentors and heroines and heroes to stay connected to and people to, you know, feel that we have a path, that we will stay on a path.
Holding on to your dreams, too.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I love the part about the grandparents as well, Barbara.
Go ahead.
How much she was so overjoyed by being loved unconditionally by her grandparents and her aunts. Extended family, they didn't correct her. They loved her exactly the way she was. That's why she loved to visit them.
Yes, and that's true. You know, sometimes we forget how much it means to any of us. You know, if we have a friend that totally accepts us, whatever it is, it's so pure because often the people that we're with, our husbands or, you know, family that are right on top of us, there are always issues.
Right, well, the parents.
If you're growing up, if you have any of your female relatives, you wind up having a bonding situation, whether it's your mom or, in many cases, an aunt or an older cousin even. It's just wonderful to have that. I used to do the mentoring role with my, I had a very young cousin named Vicky, and I was reading to her when she was little, like, excerpts from Watership Down. I read her all the Ella Rara stories, which were like, sort of like the Rabbit's Robin Hood, and told her mythology. And then she got to, like, college, which means I'm really dating myself now, in high school, and she knew what all the mythical associations were because these were all stories I had read to her. So I got this beautiful letter from her when she was in first year of college thanking me for all the stories I read to her when she was little.
Wow.
And that was a really great connection we had when she was younger, and you can't beat that in a – you know, having somebody, whether even for the other opposite sex too, to have fathers read to sons, to have mothers read to daughters, or you know, somebody in the family will just sit there, have some lap time, sit on their lap, and have a story read to you. It's a wonderful thing that stays with you the rest of your life.
Yes.
One of the things that I found very powerful was toward the end of the book, where she wanted to remember who she was as a child. Life's process gives you that gift in your 40s, where all of a sudden you realize that you haven't changed since you were a kid, really.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it becomes okay. And you realize that you're not going to, you know, really change. Your essential core is what it always was. And that came across very powerfully toward the end of the book with the locket and the note.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yes. The secret code we have that... is one of the mysteries of the book that she puts into the locket.
Mm-hmm.
Is Lillian on the line?
Yes.
Okay, Lillian, do you have any thoughts or questions you want to orchestrate for us at this point? Do you want me to just tell everyone how to get the book?
I would recommend the book because I know that every adult woman has an inner child inside, whether it's been tapped down or ignored for a long period of time, still it's still in there. And that the book talks more to the inner child of who you were than the adult of what you became. So it sort of pulls you back into what you were and how you evolved. And that's what I got out of it.
Yes. Very well said, and my research as a psychologist, my 30 years of clinical work, listening to stories, and I'm dating myself now, is it really has convinced me again and again and again that when we can get to that power source of our own inner child and get her up and going again, that she offers us so much energy and so much authenticity that we've just got to get to her. Without her, we're like dehydrated. We're just on partial empty. And I really believe that we need the stimulation of what we already were as a child.
Well, I think that society has a way of taking that away or robbing a woman of that when she is supposed to be a nurturer and caretaker to other younger people, that you are no longer supposed to be dealing with who you are inside, but you're dealing with what is now current. And I think a lot of women have a tendency to put it in a cupboard somewhere or put it somewhere else in a spare house that they don't have to open up the doors and let in the fresh breeze or fresh air. And they only come back and regroup after their time with bringing up children is over, that it's okay, it is safe for them to come back out again.
Well, we've got to try to correct some of that. I consider it my passionate duty to help women live vital lives and feel comfortable letting their full selves be there at each stage of our lives. And it also for people like Caitlin, it's there for you because I want you to have that promise that you can always be yourself as you go through every stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
So
mommies are willing to dance.
Yes, mommies are willing to dance, and they should, and it's fun. And I remember when my kids were little, we had this music we would put on that had horses and sleigh bells and all sorts of great noises, and we would run around the living room and then throw ourselves onto pillows, and I probably looked pretty gigantic doing that, but we all liked it, you know. It was good. I'm glad I did it with the kids. I really want to thank everybody for being on this wonderful show with me, where we got a chance to champion the truth. I'm 10, I'm smart, and I know everything. And that girl really appreciates that she had her some time to be very special and watched by such wonderful people, all of whom are very important in my life. I'll mention that the book is available through Amazon and, of course, Lillian Caldwell's website, or it will be, and of course my website, The Enchant Itself, www.enchantitself.com. It will be in bookstores in a month or so. Whether it's in your bookstore or not, you can always order it. You just have to go up to the counter, it'll be listed, and they'll order it. You may have to come back in a week or 10 days, but it'll be available anywhere in the major bookstores when you order it. And you can always call me at 732-571-1200 and order the book. And as I said, go to my website anytime, enchantitself.com. And Lillian, are we going to try to have a couple of little contests during the week or other
things?
Yes,
we are. We'll probably have some contests during the week, and we'll probably try to have some more, another program, possibly on Wednesday or Thursday, whatever is a good time for you, and possibly even trying to put together some kind of a reading with the different types of books that young girls can read to get a sense of who they are and where they may possibly go.
Great, great. Well, thanks everyone again, and thank you, Lillian. And I guess we're saying goodbye for now, right?
We're saying goodbye
to
now.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
And you
good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this special program with Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. You can listen to this all over again at http://internetvoicesradio.com. And it will be posted within an hour or two. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who will not otherwise be heard, PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. Thank you very much for listening. Our next scheduled program is with Soldier of the Lord Tom Sword, and that will be on Pleasantly. Thank you very much, and have a good evening.